I'm going to say a prayer before I start my sermon. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we give thanks to you for all the blessings you bestowed upon us. And as we continue listening to your proclaimed word, open our eyes so that we may see you in the scripture. Open our mind so that we may understand your word, and open up our heart so that we may listen and obey what we have learned from your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And today I conclude my sermon series on the words of the risen Christ. And this is part 8 of 8. And we will consider the farewell words, or speech, if you will, to his disciples as Jesus was ascending into heaven. Now, these two verses in Matthew 28 are known as the Great Commission. Some of you heard of that phrase before. In a nutshell, Christ commissioned his disciples to go and make disciples all around the world, baptizing and teaching them of his commands. So let's go over it verse by verse again. And if you look at the bulletin, beginning with verse 19, you'll find the first word, go. It's Christ's command, isn't it? To go, not to stay. Christianity has never been sedentary. Rather, it has been ambulatory. It is not static, but dynamic. The Church of Christ is on the constant move. It has been that way from day one. And at the rate that it has been going, it still took 2,000 years to make over 2 billion people Christ followers. Today, how many people will live? 7 billion people out of 7, over 2 billion people follow Christ as their Savior and Lord. Now, the problem in today's church, however, is we stay in, not going out. We wait until God brings people to the church and to us. May God wake us up, me and you, from this spiritual sleep. We are called to bring people to Christ. We need to go out into the world where people are. We are called to be the fishers of men and women. Have you ever heard of a fisherman who never goes out into the sea and instead docking his boat and wait until fish come by? No. None of them does that. Rather, they go out into the ocean where the fish are. Not just once, but all the time. Same goes with the Church of God, and same goes with the disciple of Christ. Christ commands us to go out to all the nations where people are, to our neighbors and friends, and to our communities and workplaces, and to the world where people are. Now then, if you continue on verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. The phrase all the nations, no exception. Each nation in the world, all families and tribes and ethnicities and races, all. Quite a task, isn't it? Why all the nations? Because Christ wants to win all people. The key is the all people for himself, because everyone needs the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is God's will for everyone on earth to hear the gospel message and to come to know the truth. And that's why God sends out to spread the gospel to the end of the world. And guess what? After that, the Messiah will come again to judge the living and the dead. God is waiting until gospel message is spread to the end of the world. Remember, God also does not send out the angels. Isn't a mystery? He does not send out his angels to proclaim the gospel. Rather, he has chosen us and he relies on us and he calls us to be the partners of his ministry to spread the gospel. In the same verse, 19, it says, make disciples. Please understand and think with me the meaning of the disciples of Christ. It is to follow the Master and imitate Him in every possible way. Back then in Jesus' times, it was like doing the internship with Christ. And they stayed together and slept together and worked together, ate together, everything together for 3 years. Wherever Jesus went, they followed. That's the meaning of discipleship. Follow the Master and imitate Him in every possible way. Christ says to anyone who'd like to follow Him as this. You want to be my disciple? Christ says. And this. Deny yourself and take up your own cross daily and follow me. That's very poignant. He said this 2,000 years ago and it's still true. You want to follow Jesus as disciple? Deny yourself. Take up your own cross daily and follow me. And let me tell you this. There are a couple of sure signs of Christ's disciple in today's text. Number one is baptism. Number two is obedience to Jesus' commands. Without keeping His commands, without observing His commands, no one can claim that he or she is a disciple of Christ. Keep that in mind. Now we're moving on. It says another key word here is baptizing. Now baptism means much more than a one-time ritual. You know, from time to time, I baptize the babies. We call infant baptism. Now most parents who come for infant baptism consider baptism as one-time parental duty. And we won't see the family again after the baptism until kids go to the Sunday school. Now the ritual, the ceremony of baptism itself does not get you or your child to heaven. Did you know that? But the repentance through baptism does. In other words, you still can go to heaven without being baptized. You know the story of the criminal? There are two criminals, you know, crucified at the same time with Jesus. Jesus was in the middle, and there are two other criminals. One of them cursed Jesus, you know, you're the Christ, save all of us from this pain and suffering on the cross. The other guy says, you know, shame on you. You don't know what you're talking about. And he turned to Christ and says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. To him, what Jesus says, today you will be in paradise with me. Now think of this criminal. He had no idea about baptism or anything, but to him, because of the confession in Jesus Christ, what did give, grant? Did Jesus grant him? But you will be in my paradise today. At the heaven's gate, I believe they will not check your baptism record. Oh, you were baptized? Check up. No. Rather, they'll check up repentance. Now listen, what is baptism? Baptism is a public declaration of one's faith in Christ. You know, in the old days, Soviet Union days in 1960s and 70s, where the communists in, Soviet Union, they persecuted Christians big time. Christians went underground, okay? Now, they did everything in secret. Worship, Bible study, prayers, and gathering, whatever. Fellowship, they always did in secret. Except one thing. You know what that is? They never did this thing in secret. They public, you know, the baptism in public. So you know what they did is that they always went out in the public place, typically river, and baptized the new believers. It became an easy target for the KGB. KGB was the one, secret police, you know. They arrested the Christians and imprisoned them, even killed them. But one thing they never did in secret was baptism. That's how important a public statement of your faith. Baptism means washing away your sins. It means turning away from evil ways. It means to turn around 180 degrees from old sinful ways. It means forgiveness in Christ through repentance. It means you are dead to sin but alive to God. You know, the baptism, we always use the water. You don't have to be a Baptist to understand the meaning of baptism. They use the immersion, isn't it? They go down into the water and come out of the water. When you go down into the water, what happens? You all drown. That means that your old self is drowned to death. That's what it means. When you come out of the water and you breathe, and that means that you are becoming a new creation in Christ, alive to God. Your old self is buried dead and you arise as a new creation through baptism. Therefore, it means a new beginning. It means a clean slate. So by baptizing people in the church, we proclaim the message of what? Repentance as well as new beginning in Christ. Each time we baptize a new believer, we declare that the person is forgiven and a new creation in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now please note here, whenever we baptize, we do not baptize in any human name, not in the president's name, not even Pope's name, not even the Mary's name, the mother of Jesus. No. We baptize them in the name of the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It tells me each baptism is reverently carried out and sealed by the triune God. And that's how significant it is to have baptism and repent of our sins in Jesus. One last thing is this, in verse 20, teach them. Jesus commands us to teach them. The purpose of teaching in the church is what? To help God's people to remember and to observe what Jesus has commanded. The content of the teaching in the church is not human principles, nor worldly teachings. Not how to live a happy life, nor how to fulfill your dreams, nor how to be rich, but to keep Jesus' commands. I'm just saying very important thing. In the church, we are not teaching human principles or worldly teachings, but Jesus' commands. All the earthly blessings we look for may come after we keep Jesus' commands, not the other way around. In my humble opinion, there are too many preachers today water down the Word of God and preach something people are eager to hear, feel-good message. Please pray that every minister of God's word, myself included, would preach the word of God unadulterated until the church keeps his commands. True story. There was a pastor newly appointed to a congregation like Methodist, and for the first Sunday, he preached a wonderful sermon titled Love One Another. People liked it, loved it. Second Sunday came by and the preacher stood in the pulpit and he preached the exact same sermon as he did a week ago. And people thought, well, he must just be on this, love one another, and they understood and went home. And third Sunday came by and he preached the exact same sermon third time in a row. And people began to wonder, is this the only sermon he has? And they complained to the pastor, and they asked him to preach something different next Sunday. And the pastor replied, I'll preach something else when I see you love one another. Now, the last thing is this. The law, I am with you, Christ says. The Lord is with us wherever we go. He is with us. It is the best promise of God ever. God be with us. Emmanuel. I believe it is time that we took his promise seriously. If you believe that God is with you, speak like it and act like it. In other words, when we say some ungodly words, let's remember Jesus listens. When we do things that do not please the Lord, let's remember God watches it too. Even the deepest thoughts and secrets we have in our heart, guess what? God sees them all as well. Think of Joseph, the son of Jacob. Joseph was so tempted. He was a handsome, nice-looking young man. And guess what? His mistress fell in love, infatuated with this young man from Israel, and ordered him to lie down with her. When just two of them were in a secret room, and what did Joseph say? Ma'am, even though just you and me in this room, there is a God up in heaven. watches down over us. I cannot sin against God. He was fully aware of that God was with him all the time. God is watching and he's listening. Now note here that Jesus didn't say that he will make us as we go out into the world. He didn't promise that he'll make us successful all the time. Neither did he promise a trouble-free, pain-free, suffering-free life either. On the contrary, we are not exempt from life challenges and struggles. Yet, God's promise is this, that he will be with us. It is not his will for us to stand alone on our journey to heaven without God's help. It is his full intention, however, that he is with us so that we may rely on him and walk with him and keep our relationship intimate through good times and bad. He promised to be with us to the end of the age. Think of it. It's the promise forever, isn't it? His faithfulness will endure forever. As for closing, I will say this. Jesus' command to go out into the world was not just for the first century believers. It is still relevant and true to us as well. Like the Ten Commandments, it was given to us 3,500 years ago and still God's command to us, isn't it? Now go into the world, Christ commands. Do not stay within the church walls. Make disciples of all the nations, and the world is our parish, as John Wesley used to say. Proclaim the message of repentance through baptism and teach all the nations to observe what Jesus has commanded us. Christ is with us until the end of the age. Amen.